Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to just be back together. Just thanking the Lord for another day that He has made. So let's just take a little time right now just to give Him some praise. Clap those hands, lift up those hands in the chat. Can you put some emoticons, some praise? I really want you to get into it. You know those little party signs. Let's just praise Jesus, for He is an awesome God who loves us so much. Well, I'm excited today as we are together and we get back into the Word that we can be encouraged. As you see in my background, we've got those two sides, dependence and independence, and we're back to the basics, just thinking about, okay, what are the differences in our relationships when we come to be dependent on God and independent of God? We have put so much here at ebcnc.com to encourage you, to help you grow. God has called us living epistles, living epistles. What that means is that we are walking Bibles. Isn't that good news? That God is using us in this tumultuous world to be example of His glory, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So I want you to walk in Jesus. Also, we have put together a Bible reading program where we're flowing through the Bible. And believe it or not, we're getting closer to December than you realize, even as we're in the summer now, that summer solstice. But we just thank the Lord for His word, these 66 books. We're actually going chronologically in order so that we can understand God's word together. And I'm just so glad about what God is up to. I just thank the Lord for you supporting all of the things that we do. We've got visitors that are from near and far in different areas, and we thank you for praying for Ebenezer and going along on this voyage. As we always, our biggest push is for people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of God. And that's why we want the purity of God's word. We want worship. We want praise, that our hearts can be convicted and we can realize we need a savior, and His name is Jesus. Don't forget our church app, connected directly to ebcnc.com. Notifications, you can get all of that information there. It is becoming imperative. So many things are changing, different events. We got women's conferences that are coming up. We've got marriage things that are happening at Ebenezer. So our youth are on the move. God is doing so much. So get that app if you don't, so that you can get all the information as we go from day to day. I want to thank you so much for joining us on all of our virtual platforms. We've got our Monday Manna. We've got our Tuesday Noonday Bible Study on our virtual platform. And then we've got our Wednesday at 7 o'clock on our virtual platform, going through those different Bible studies. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you again for all of your prayers. Don't forget about our Thursday Bible study, where we are actually jumping into the book of 1 Corinthians. It is our in-person Bible study. It's from 6 to 7. And it has been a challenging study as we have been, really digging into God's word and comparing it to our lives. Thank you, as always, for praying for our 8:45 service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 service. And I am just amazed at God's mercies and kindness within our lives. Thank you for your generosity. God loves a cheerful giver. As we purpose in our heart and we really just thank God for Him being our provider. Ebenezer has been blessed so tremendously. We thank you that we have different things that we sow into as a church. We have Feed the Hungry Ministry that is in Central Park on third Sundays, blessing people. We also have monies that we're being sent across overseas to Uganda and other areas. And God has just been doing amazing things. And it's because of your prayers and your giving and supporting that. So thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word of God. Well, I just want us to take some time of worship, seeking God's face, and just asking God to speak to our lives. So focus in, and we'll see you soon.
I just wanted to speak from the book of Psalms, because I feel like sometimes we may go through challenges and we may only be able to see the bad things through the challenges, but God is always blessing us, and He's always blessing us with miracles in our lives, even though we may not be able to see them. So Psalms 22:19 says, "O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid." And Psalms 25:4 through 5 says, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you."
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all of my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been good, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkness night. You are close like no other. I know you as a father. I know you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have. And all my life you have been good, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Keeps running after me. Your goodness keeps running after me. When my life laid down, I surrender all. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness keeps running after, running after me. Oh, your goodness keeps running after, it's running after me. Yeah. My life laid down, I surrender all. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness keeps running after, it's running after me. Oh yeah, your goodness keeps running after me. 'Cause all my life you have.
Isn't it so good to know that the goodness of God is all around us? Before we go any further, let's go into a time of prayer together. Father, I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy. Thank you for being a good, good God. Lord, I pray that if there's someone viewing or listening today that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they reach out and grab that wonderful gift. Now, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are a teacher. You're our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so good to have God in our lives. We've been going through this series, and it's really just triggered a lot within my heart and my mind, going back to the basics, knowing that God's word is faithful. It strengthens us. Remember that memory scripture we've been going over, and I've been telling you, and if you can get that in your mind and in your heart and follow through that, I'm telling you, it takes us up levels. And when I say takes us up in levels of just knowing God's will and walking it out. So just go to that, James 1:26 and 1:27. We've been reading it aloud so that we can get it down into our spirit. So I pray, and I don't know where you're at right now, but if you can, I want you to really speak it out. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's read this aloud together. James 1:26 and 1:27. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't that good? Going back to the subtopic of Back to the Basics, we've been dealing with that dependence versus independence in relationship to God, God's will, and knowing who he is. On last Sunday, we were showing what dependence is all about by looking at Paul the Apostle, or when we were together, really walking through that and knowing what he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so today, I'm going to, as the Spirit leads me, look at the other side. When we are independent of God's will, what can happen? So let's jump into our focus scripture for today. We're going back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and around that 8th verse, 1 Samuel 13 and 8. Then he waited 7 days. Can you put in the chat 7:7? That's going to be important. Time of completeness. 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgad, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Let's read that one more time. I want you to get it in your spirit as we're going through this. 1 Samuel 13, 8. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. I want to speak from a title today. I did it my way. I did it my way. One of the challenges as we turn from being dependent on God, we have to depend on something. And that dependency generally is ourselves, which is independent of God's will. I hope I didn't mess you up. And so now we're on that track of independency where we're not dependent on God. In 1967, I believe it was Frank Sinatra, he sang these lyrics that really revolutionized America. It was in the stream and thinking about the Industrial Revolution and really being strong in ourselves, having pride in our country, but as individual people, really just focusing on and breaking through and going, you know, we can do anything. But what concerns me about this song, as you look at it and we study it and we think about I did it my way, is that the fact it has a lot of I's in it. I thought about counting all the I's. I was like, it was just so many. It was overwhelming. So as I go through these lyrics today, I want you to see all the I's. And I want you to realize when we get to the point of being independent of God, we focus on ourselves and we will mess up. Listen to these lyrics. It says, now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. I hope you're counting them. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course. Each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall. I did it my way. I've loved and I've laughed and I've cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did it all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me. I did it my way. Listen to this. For what is a man? He sings. What has he got? If not himself, he has not to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. Yes, I did it my way. That is the epitome of being independent of God's will, depending totally on ourselves. And I'm seeing this so much in America. I'm seeing it in the world. I'm seeing it in the church where people are literally not submitting themselves to the will of God. Jeremiah 17:9 says it like this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I just want a quick type is, can you put desperately right there? Desperately, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You got to realize that when we depend on ourselves outside of the will of God, man, we're going down a wrong path already because we have been conceived in iniquity. And Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. King Solomon, one of the wisest men under Jesus the Christ that has ever lived, he said this in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's my concern that so many people have turned away from dependency on God and they're living an independent life and they think that they're on a path of freedom, but they're all the way going all the way towards death. And we're seeing that in our society. We're seeing that in our young people. We're seeing that as we look at the world, I did it my way. The time frame of this particular portion of scripture is about 1000 BC. God has done something special. He's actually raised up this prophet called Samuel. There's a lot of detail with Samuel, but I can say Samuel was an anointed man of God. He was raised up from a young boy. He was dedicated, surrendered his life to the Lord. And there, God began to use him in a prophetic a role to actually speak into the lives of Israel and especially of the kings. Samuel had been leading the Israelites, but the Israelites saw all the other nations and they were like, you know what? The prophet Samuel is just not enough. We want us a king like everybody else. Samuel got a little upset with this and he was like, God, I'm hearing from you. These people, they're asking for a king. And God told him, he said, Samuel, it's not about you. These people are stubborn. They're stiff-necked. They just want to be like everybody else. He says, I'm going to give them a king. And he gave them a king. And this is their first king. His name was Saul. And Saul was a tall man, looked really good. And when he started off, Saul was walking in humility. He was actually, he was scared of things that were going on, but God's anointing rests upon him. As we pick up this story, God's hand has been with Saul, and he is about a year into his kingship, but something happens. Yes, as we say, I did it my way, his thought pattern changes from being dependent on God's will, doing what God has said, to going to a thought pattern, I'm okay. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. So let's jump into this section. As I was preparing for this, and God put a thought on my heart, and I just want to read this to you, what he put on my heart. He says, once we make one choice against God's will, it becomes easier to continue down the path of independence. These are the scriptures that we are preparing to look at. As I was walking in that, getting into this, Romans 1:21, I came to my mind too, preparing for this scripture. It says, because although I knew God, or they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Paul the Apostle was being used of the Lord to talk about when we go down a path of independency from God's will, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We are going to look at this this nature of King Saul, that he actually shows himself to be a fool and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. The word of God being in his presence, being dependent on him, they changed it for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at this. 1 Samuel 13:5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Aven. Here's our first point, the enemy. Yes, the enemy. Saints, let's get this. The enemy wants to do all he can do to push us away from depending on God, to saying, you know what, you got this. You can stand strong without God. This starts to occur when we have less prayer, less Bible reading. We just kind of get caught up in our weeks, just going, and some can seem successful, that everything's going well, that they don't need God. But I am telling you, there's going to come a time that we're going to realize if we're not walking with him, we're going to find our way ourselves in a dark place. We want to be dependent on God instead of independent, but I'm seeing so many that are caught up in this. Look at Isaiah 59:19 with me. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Because we have an enemy, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But when we are walking independent of God's will, we don't recognize this. And so I want you to notice what happens when we get independent of God's will. In the next verse, 1 Samuel 13:6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. Israel had a God that was strong. You remember a cloud by day and a fire? He would lead them, miracles, signs, and wonders. This is their legacy. This is a God that would fight for them, would show up and show out. But now they had become strong within themselves. And so when the enemy rose up, instead of turning to God, they became
independent of God's will. Notice the traits of independency of God's will. They were in danger. They became distressed. Are you feeling stress in your life? The reason you're feeling that stress is because our faith is lacking, and we need to run to God instead of hearing what the enemy is saying and embracing those thoughts and becoming independent of God and doing it our own way. Then the people hid in caves and in thickets, in rocks and holes and in pits, and some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, I did it my way, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, here it is, trembling. Here's the point I want you to get out of those scriptures: fear. Yes, fear. So when we choose to be independent of God, we experience more fear in our lives. If you're experiencing fear, it is a direct correlation to your lack of dependency on God, your lack of faith. And so we're depending on ourselves, our natural reaction, we become afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 really sums this up. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." In the chat, could you type it out? Sound mind. Wherever you're standing, it says, say sound mind. You need to hear that, because that shows dependency on God. When we don't have that spirit of fear, but we have power and love and a sound mind, we understand I'm dependent on God. But when we're walking in fear and trembling, that shows us we are on a track of independency from God's will. Jan Martel, in the book The Life of Pi, a great quote here, it really encapsulates what fear is all about. He says, "Fear is a clever, treacherous adversary. How well I know it has no decency, respects no law or convention, shows no mercy. It goes for your weakest spot, which it finds with unnerving ease. It begins in your mind always." Aren't you glad God gives us a sound mind? The enemy's job, listen to me, is to push us away from God's will. Yeah, he wants to push us away from God. I remember playing in a playground many years ago. They would have this bar that would go across and this balance beam of a type, but it was made out of steel, metal. And I saw many kids fall and hit their heads and everything, but they would just get back up. Now they've got nicer material, but it was slippery. And I remember going across that, and the challenge was to make it across this beam, balancing with people coming at you, trying to push you off. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to push us off. But the way you can be successful today, if you had somebody behind you kind of steadying you up, even though people push you, you had a greater one that was around you. I'm talking about the Lord. That's what he wants to do. When we are dependent on him, he says, "I've got your back." But remember, the enemy coming in the garden, Genesis 3:1, producing fear and doubt. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" He tries to produce fear in Eve and Adam to doubt what God has said. That shows us he was trying to push them, which he was successful in, out of the will of God. Where are you at in your life? Are you sensing that fear? The enemy is using that to get you away from God. Run to God. Run to Daddy. Jump into his lap and grab him and say, "God, greater is you that's in me than he that is in the world." I'm telling you, he is a faithful God. I did it my way. Look at 1 Samuel 13:8. "Then King Saul waited 7 days." I told you to put that seven down. This is important. So that seven is a time of completeness. We're going to find out it was pre-described by the prophet Samuel, but it was contrary to actually participate within this sacrifice without the prophet. And so in Saul's mind, "I have completed the days for waiting." But notice here, now he's allowing his ways to come up. "I did it my way, according to the time set by Samuel." But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. So So King Saul has to deal with this thought, man. Okay, the prophet needs to be here. It says in the law that the prophet's supposed to come. He's the only one that can do this sacrifice, but I'm the king, and it's been past 7 days, and Samuel's not here. You see where the enemy works on our minds? We expect God to show up today, or maybe we give him, okay, God, when you show up tomorrow, we put a date on him and we get past that, and your relationship is breaking up. You've got problems on your job. You've got bills due, but God is not showing up when you thought that he should show up. And so what do? I did it my way. We allow ourselves to get away from dependency on God to being independent of his will. How did that turn out for you? Look at the scripture. And the people were scattered from him. So all this pressure is on King Saul to do something. That ninth verse. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Here's the point I want you to get out of that. Impatience. Yes, impatience. King Saul's like, okay, I can't take it anymore, which he could have took it anymore if he would have just trusted it. But if he had been dependent on God's will, he wouldn't have had to get to this point. Man, haven't we all been there? We like, I just got to do it. I got to figure it out. I'll pay a 20% interest on a loan just to get this pressure off of me. I'll do this. Or I need to drink, or I need to take drugs. I just can't take it. Impatience. The enemy comes at us and hits us hard again, trying to push us out of God's will to get us to the point of doing it our way. Theologian Farstead, he writes of this thought of these scriptures. He says, with his forces diminishing and with war impending, Saul was moved by expediency to offer the burnt offering himself. But listen to this, even though he had no authority to do so, not being a Levite, even if Samuel was late, that did not justify Saul's intruding into the priestly office. So by doing it his way, please hear me, he gets out of the will of God. Yes, just because Samuel didn't show up on his timing, King Saul decided, you know what? God has been with me all this time, this whole year, and I know what he said in the past, but I'm just not going to do that because you know what? I'll be okay. How many times have we decided that we're going to be okay? The old saint said it like this, and as I've gotten older, I've really embraced this. They said, he may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. Any amen out there, we've got to learn to get past this impatience and say, you know what? I want to be dependent on God's will. Psalms 27:14, it says, wait, can you put in the chat, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Can you say it again? Wait, wherever you stand, it says, say, wait, I say on the Lord. I found out in my life that God does not move at our timing and he tends to be a little slower. Any witnesses out there? Yeah, he tends to allow us to wait, to trust him, to be dependent on him and not walk away in independency doing it our own way. Galatians 5:22 even talks about that it's a fruit of the Spirit. In the English Standard Version, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here it is. Patience. I'm working you today. Can you put patience in the chat wherever you're standing, sitting? Say patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness. I did it my way. Right, let's look at how this story continues on. 1 Samuel 13:10. Now it happened. As soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. Isn't that interesting? He decides to do it his own way, go against God's will. He becomes impatient. And as soon as he sins, as soon as he steps out there with the eye complex, Samuel walks up. Some of you are saying ouch out there because you've done the same thing. You tried to dig yourself out of a hole. And when you dug yourself out of a hole, you thought you got deeper into the hole. And then you saw God show up and you like, why didn't I just wait on you, Lord? And you produce more problems for yourself. Look at the scripture. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. So King Saul at this point, You know, he thinks he's the man. I did it my way. I'm in charge. I've got power. Forgetting that it was God that put him in the kingship. Forgetting it was God that had empowered him and enabled him. But yet he has chosen to do it his own way, 1 Samuel 13:11. And Samuel said, what have you done? You maybe ask, how did he know? Well, the offering is going up. The burning there. He comes into it. And he's like, this guy, this king is already offered, put forth the offering that he had no authority to do. Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, I'm going to deal with that. These are the trek. When you go down a trek of independency, there's certain things. He said, I saw it. I saw it. And that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash. Then I said, so I saw it, I took it in my mind, and since I was the king, I felt that I could make a choice, and so I waited 7 days, and then he says, I said, that mentality, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgad, and remember we started off with that, I have not made supplication to the Lord, therefore, here it is, go ahead and put it in the chat, this is an easy one, everybody can get, just put I felt compelled, and offered a burnt offering. His point, once you get out of that, excuses. Yes, excuses. Do you hear him? The king, he has not owned what he's done, but he's made a whole bunch of excuses. That's what happens. When you are independent of God's will, you start making excuses. You make excuses to your family. You're making excuses to God. You make excuses to your coworkers. You even talk to your dog and cat. You're making excuses to them. That shows that you're depending on yourself. And I'm telling you, we fail ourselves every time. Benjamin Franklin, a set of excuses. He says, I never knew a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else. I'm telling you. And King Saul, when he's starting on this flight, this journey of taking the enemy's hand and trying to be independent of God, because he's saying, you know what? I don't need to hear you, God, anymore. I don't need to follow your prescriptions. I can do it myself. We find him going down a dark, dark road. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, King Saul was dealing with this, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He had so much pride that had risen in him to actually say, I can do this even though I'm not a priest, I'm a Levite. I can make this offering out of God's will is not of the Father, but it is of the world. How many times has the enemy sold us all of these things to walk independently of God's will, and we find ourselves hitting a brick wall? I did it my way. King Saul being led by his eyes and the pride of life, we find him going away from dependency on the Lord and choosing to stand in himself. Where are you today? I want you to think about your life as we're looking at King. We're like, yeah, he made some mistakes. What mistakes are we making right now that we're depending on our own smarts? We're depending on our own logic. We're depending on ourselves. We have the I complex when God is saying you should be dependent on me. Look at these final scriptures pulling this together. 1 Samuel 13:13. I did it my way. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. Can you put in the chat fool? Yeah, fool. Wherever you're standing, sitting, just say fool. Right here in the scripture, you've done fools. You chose to go against what God had already said. You chose a path of independence away from God's will. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God. I just want to stop here. Saints, please. There's so many people that are going through because they've chosen not to listen to God's word. They just said that's antiquated. That's years ago. I don't need to do that. How's that working out for you? Some of you have embraced that. You haven't been training up your kids, your grandkids in the word of God, the commandments of God. And some of them have turned away from good training and moral teaching, and they find themselves in a dark, dark place. I did it my way, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have. if he would only waited and not been impatient and been dependent on God forever. He said the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. He's like, King Saul, because you chose the devil's path, you turned away from God, you actually opened up a door for the enemy to mess up generations after generations. 1 Samuel 13:14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. He says, I need to find a man that's dependent on me. Someone that will give me their whole entire heart so I can use them. I don't need someone that's going to do it their way. I need someone that's going to say, I want to do it God's way. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel rose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him about 600 men. Final point of the day, judgment. Yes, judgment. Sadly, but realistically, when we get away from God's will and we walk in independency in our own selves, judgment is on the way. When we choose our way, we lose every time. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Can you put in the chat death wherever you're standing, sin, and say death? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what God wants for us. He's like, be dependent on me. Give yourself to me. Don't walk independently of my will. But that is why I am so glad. Please hear me today. We got a Savior. That's why we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Any witnesses in the house? He was totally dependent on the Father. It's mind-boggling to me, but that's where Father God wants us to be. Jesus is our example of being total dependent on the Father. Let me show you John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus is that ultimate example of not doing his own way, but doing it the Father's way. Being totally dependent on God. He's the only one that can deliver us from ourselves. There ought to be some amens in the house. I am so glad that he shows us dependence on the Father, even in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But here's the example of being dependent on God. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. There ought to be some amens. I'm so glad for a God that would go to the cross of Calvary, Jesus to take nails in his hands and nails in his feet for you and me. He would die on that cross of Calvary, but there should be some celebration. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. You know what he's praying? He's praying for his Father's will in our lives. That we would no longer want to do it our way, but we'd want to do it Christ's way. He's given us 66 books to lay out in front of us that we can study when we're concerned, which way should I go? He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to those that are saved. He's dwelling on the inside, and he's given us the Word of God. And he said, here, look, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. That's good news in a world that so many are choosing to do it their own way. Thanks. We have a good Father. They say, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Will you trust him today? Whatever you're going through, God is faithful. Whatever the enemy's trying to sell you, turn away from him. Say, I already got a God. I've got a Father in heaven who is faithful. Remember that quote of the old saint, he may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. That's funny. Can you put in the chat, on time? Wherever you're standing, and say, on time. We can trust him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray and believe that it was an a word of encouragement to someone that's going through right now. They're tempted. They're being tempted, Father. The impatience has set in, and they're trying to figure out. The enemy is hitting them hard, and they're just trying to know which way to go. But today, this word, I pray that they learn to wait on you. They're deciding not to do it their own way, but they're saying, God, I trust you. I trust your word. And Lord, we thank you that you've already worked it out. Oh, encourage them today. Lord, maybe there's someone that doesn't know you, and I pray that their heart's been touched. They've been on this path of independency from you, Lord, running from you. But today, they'll say, I surrender, and they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Oh, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your grace. Oh, that they receive that today. Lord, help us as saints to stand strong for you in this season and in this time. And Lord, we thank you for your will being done in our lives. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God, and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father with a love that would not cease.
Well, I tried him, and I know that his promises are true. He's everything he said he would be. And the finest words I know could not begin to tell what Jesus really means to me.
For
he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything that he promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God, and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father with a love that would not cease.
Well, I tried him, and I know that his promises are true. He's everything he said he would be. And the finest words I know could not begin to tell what Jesus really means to me.
For
he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything that he promised. And so much more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.